Thank you for the introduction, and thank you everybody for being here. Today I'm going to discuss diabetic foot screening and predictive factors for screening late, along with who are we missing. I don't have any conflicts of interest to disclose. So diabetes and foot health is something that doesn't often get discussed a lot. What happens in diabetes with prolonged blood glucose levels is it causes irreversible damage to capillaries and nerves in the body, and this leads to the consequences of vision loss and kidney failure that we see in the diabetic population. And it also leads to a condition called peripheral neuropathy. In peripheral neuropathy, you typically begin with losing sensation in your feet, and it slowly moves up towards the center of your body if you continue to have issues with blood sugar control. It can also occur in your hands. These changes to the nerves not only affect your sensation, it also affects your muscles in your feet and can result in wasting of the muscles in your feet and result in deformities in your feet, such as clawed toes, that make it difficult to get your feet into the normal shoes you can buy every day. Peripheral neuropathy and the changes associated with it can make an individual at an increased risk for developing a diabetic foot ulcer. These wounds are typically complicated to heal. A lot of them do not heal, and they do have high rates of infection. Right now, the prevalence rate of diabetic foot ulcers is about 7.7% in the United States, and 16 to 21% of these ulcers result in lower extremity amputations because of the complications of the problem. Right now in the United States, about 41 out of every 1,000 patients with diabetes will develop a foot ulcer every year, and 4.7 out of 1,000 patients will require an amputation on an annual basis. This problem is also really costly to the healthcare system in the U.S., resulting in costs of $4.6 to $13.7 billion per year. Looking at total healthcare spending on the diabetes population as a whole, diabetic foot ulcers actually use up over a third of that money. In addition to the financial costs of diabetic foot ulcers and the having to deal with having a foot ulcer, getting treatment for it, it also has a high mortality rate. The 5-year mortality rate for foot ulcers and amputations as a result of foot ulcers is approaching 50%. This is on par with what we see for colon cancer, and the only cancers more deadly are lung cancer and pancreatic cancer. So this is kind of an underlying big problem that we have. So we do know that prevention strategies can reduce amputation rates from about 50 to 85%. The American Diabetes Association does recommend doing annual comprehensive foot exams for patients with diabetes to identify risk factors that are predictive of wound formation and amputations. And once completing the exam, you can refer patients to resources to help manage any of the problems they have with their foot and prevent wounds. The American Diabetes Association also recommends people that have any of the risk factors, such as loss of sensation, foot deformities, and prior wounds, should get screened every time they see a healthcare professional. So other prevention and strategies include patient education, letting them know that there are these potential problems with their feet, and then self-management issues, what they can do to help protect their feet. There's also clinician education, making sure primary care and specialty providers are aware of conducting foot exams, how to appropriately conduct the exam, and where to refer patients for assistance with managing any problems that they may develop. So the diabetic foot exam itself is pretty easy to conduct. It takes less than 5 minutes in the clinic. It involves taking a patient's history, doing a general visual inspection of the patient's feet, actually having them take off their shoes and socks, and then doing an assessment of their neurologic status, making sure that whether they do or do not have peripheral neuropathy, and also checking their vascular status, because blood flow is very important to preventing wounds and also to help heal them. So not only is this quick, it's pretty inexpensive. It costs about 50 cents to get a disposable one-time-use monofilament, which you use to detect peripheral neuropathy. And the other nice thing about this exam is it's not limited to a specific healthcare provider. This is something that can be performed by physicians, physical therapists, nurses, nurse practitioners, pharmacists, and certified diabetes educators. So we actually have a really big population that can be doing these screenings. However, despite the ease and the low cost of the screening exam, in 2010, only about 68% of the diabetes population had their foot screened. Now, we don't know a whole lot on why people are screened and why they're not screened, but we do know that patients with type 1 diabetes do have higher rates of screening. Screening is also higher in men and people that are recently diagnosed with diabetes. So some of the issues with the screening exam are there's some confusion among clinicians in multidisciplinary groups on who's in charge of doing the screening. Everybody thinks somebody else did it. There are also issues with reimbursement rates and what billing codes to use. Like, physicians can get reimbursed for doing the screening exam, whereas physical therapists and nurses do not get reimbursed for this. There's also very little research on patient understanding. Do they know why we need to do this? Do they understand why we should check their feet and why they need to check their feet? And we don't understand much about the acceptance of the screening exam itself. From my clinical experience, a lot of patients say, oh, don't look at my feet, they're ugly. So we've got a little bit of a barrier to get over to even get to looking at their feet. So with the little bit of research we have a critical need to understand the demographic and behavioral factors that influence whether screening is conducted by a healthcare provider at the recommended frequency. So the objectives of the study was to determine a more current national rate for the diabetic foot screening and also explore demographic and diabetes-specific health behaviors that might influence screening rates. So for the study, we used the 2013 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, BRFSS, and we included people that answered yes to the question, have you ever been told by a doctor that you have diabetes? And also completed the BRFSS optional diabetes module. This was 10 additional questions that were asked about specific diabetes behaviors, and it was conducted in 36 of the 50 states in 2013. So our analytic sample was just over 33,000 people. So our main exposure of interest in the study was diabetic foot screening by a healthcare professional. We used a question about how many times in the last 12 months has a health professional checked your feet for sores or irritations, and we dichotomized in this to yes for people who had at least one screening and no to people who had not. The covariates we investigated were gender, race, age, employment status, and insurance status, and the health behavior specific to diabetes that were asked in the optional module were having a primary care physician, seeing a clinician for diabetes issue in the past year, having hemoglobin A1C, which is another recommended diabetes screening exam, performing self-foot checks, having prior diabetes education, having a vision exam in the last year, and whether they had vision exams due to diabetes. So we looked at descriptive statistics for our sample. We then conducted bivariate logistic regression models to look at the association between diabetic foot screening and each of the covariates in health behavior. We then did adjusted logistic regression models for each of the diabetes health behaviors, adjusted for the covariates we used, and also adjusted for complex sample design. So for our first objective, the national rate of screening in 2013 was 72.4%, which was about a 5% increase from 2010. Looking at the demographics of our screened population, for most of our demographics, the population was screened around the national rate, except for Hispanic population, only 60% was screened. Unemployed and uninsured were also had very low rates of screening. For health behaviors, people that don't have a primary care physician was about 50%. Other low rates were seen for not seeing a clinician in the past year for their diabetes, not having an A1C check, and not performing their own self-foot exam. Looking at the bivariate analysis with our covariates, women are about 9% less likely to be screened than men. Our population over the age of 65 and blacks compared to whites are more likely to be screened. However, Hispanics are about 40% less likely to be screened, unemployed about 33% less likely, and the uninsured is 60% less likely to be screened. Looking at our adjusted models for the diabetes health behaviors, there's about an 80% decreased likelihood in screening for people who don't see a clinician specifically for their diabetes and who have not received a hemoglobin A1C screening in the past year. There's a 70% reduction in likelihood of screening for people who do not check their own feet as well. The only factor that was predictive of foot exam was having vision issues related to diabetes. So from our analysis, we found that factors associated with missing foot screening include Hispanic race, being under the age of 65, unemployed and uninsured, and for individuals that don't have primary care physicians, have not visited a doctor for diabetes issues in the last year, who miss other screening exams such as hemoglobin A1C and vision screenings, who don't do their own self-foot checks, and for people that have not had education in diabetes management. So strength of the study, this is a nationally representative estimate of screening rates. It also has clinical relevance. This is something a clinician can go home and use to make sure they can target their at-risk populations in their clinics and conduct screenings. It's also the first study that explored the relationships between diabetic foot screenings and demographic and health behaviors in the population. The study is limited by the cross-sectional nature of the data. It limits the ability to determine causality. The data is also self-report, which may introduce some bias. Another limitation is there's no distinction in the data between type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Because we know that the rates of screening in the two populations are different, it's possible that their demographic and health behavior predictive factors are also different. So for public health implications, we can use this information to develop educational interventions focused at at-risk populations. And in these interventions include encouragement to have positive diabetes behaviors, have your primary care physician, see somebody annually about your diabetes, and make sure you're getting the other recommended diabetes screenings. Also, programs can be developed on how to perform self-foot checks. You can also do health promotion programs in the community. So if you have a community health fair, having a booth for diabetic foot screening. And that's something that I would recommend doing in conjunction if you have an allied health program, nursing, or physical therapy in the area to help you out with that. So I'd like to thank the Virginia Commonwealth University Division of Epidemiology for supporting my doctoral work. And thank you all for being here today. And are there any questions?
Thank you, Dr. Shandel. Do we have any questions for her?
Two separate columns, so the covariates, the demographics, and then the health behaviors.
And of course, the
off the top of my head, I'm from California originally. I know in that population it might be related to being uninsured and unemployed. Those would be the only ones off the top of my head. Right. It's interesting, yeah. Access to care is probably a big problem, yeah.
Just from a clinical perspective, I wonder if we have any information regarding comorbidities like eye disease, heart disease, and wondering if the presence of those conditions perhaps cue healthcare providers.
There is one study that did look at multiple comorbidities, and people that have multiple comorbidities with diabetes were more likely to get screened. But I didn't look at that in the study.
Thank you very much.